Hello once again, and welcome to the program. We're continuing in 2 Timothy in God's Church Manual. Again, chapter 1 tells us how we need to think, chapter 2, what we need to be, chapter 3, what we need to know, and chapter 4, what we need to do. If we're going to really get a handle on this, we need to sincerely make this our prayer again. Lord, teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Again, let's make this our honest prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
Well, we get into 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21, talks about purging something. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Therefore purge. The word purge means to remove. Now, what are we to remove from? We're to remove from the influence of the vessels to dishonor. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, but be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, when it's talking about manners, it's not saying that you'll forget to say yes, please, and no, thank you. What manners means here is the manner or the way in which something is done. And so there's a tremendous influence to do it wrong in this age in which we are living. Now, these things, there's some who say that what he's referring to is that we purge ourselves from these things, and then we'll be strong in the grace of the Lord. Well, that's one of the things some say we should purge ourselves from. That doesn't make any sense. And the things which thou hast heard, commit thou to faithful men, endure hardness, no man entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Consider what I say, Paul said. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Shun profane and vain babblings. Depart from iniquity. Now, if we are to purge ourselves from these things, it doesn't make any sense at all. So we must be talking here about purging ourselves to those to dishonor. He said in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord of a pure heart. So you're in that group, flee youthful lusts, but follow. Follow what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them, that group, that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. In 1 Timothy 6:11, he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, avoid, but foolish and unlearned questions, avoid. That word avoid has been translated refuse 5 times. Why? Because they gender strifes. Now, in 1 Timothy 1:4, Paul warned the pastor not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies. In 1 Timothy 4:7, he said, refuse profane and old wives' fables. And then here in verse 23, he said, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Now, the Merriam Dictionary says to avoid is to make legally void. This is what Romans 16:17 is referring to when Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and get together and have meetings with them. No, it says avoid them. Now, it also says the servant must not strive. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In verse 14, the pastor is to be charging them before the Lord that they strive not to words to no profit. Here, Paul admonishes Timothy not to strive or waste time contending with the troublemakers. To strive is to be quarrelsome, but the pastor is to be in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. If they will not come to the place of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and it finally comes to the place when church discipline is necessary, it must be only after appropriate steps have been taken, and never be in the spirit of anger, but always in meekness. And so in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, the word recover means to awake from a deep sleep and to come to a right way of thinking. To recover themselves indicates that they have placed themselves into a position where they could be snared by the devil, and they would have to make a conscious decision to get out of the bondage that they have put themselves in. Those who make a decision to go against God's plain teaching are simply rebellious. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. What about witchcraft? People who give themselves over to witchcraft are opening the door for the devil and his demons to take control. Rebellion does the same thing. People never rebel unless they make a decision to rebel. The rebellious person is taken captive at his will, at the devil's will, and he lines up his will with the devil. It's always a decision. We see three different wills in the Bible. Ephesians 6:6, we read, as the servant of Christ doing the will of God. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. And then in 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we have the will of God, the will of man, and the will of the devil. 1 and 2 Timothy begins and focuses much on the need for confrontations concerning those who cause disunity in the local church. 1 Peter 2:15 says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We read in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Why do we bring that in here? Because the context of well-doing is seen in verse 6, where we read, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received of us. Verse 11 refers to some which walk among you disorderly, and says they are busybodies. Verse 14 says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he might be ashamed. It is within the context here of confronting these very unpleasant situations that Paul said in verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. 1 Peter 2:15 says, for it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It is noteworthy that Paul referred to brethren being ignorant 6 times. Wow. So we get into this very negative aspect of the responsibilities of a pastor. Let's again make this our prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to me, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth Thank you.